The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week is Parashas Pikudei. Eile Pikudei HaMishkon, Mishkan HaIdus, Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe, Avodas Halevim, B'yad Yisomor Ben Aaron HaKohen. Here the Torah tells us about all of the summaries, the accountings of all of the materials of the Mishkan, which was gathered together, the gold, the silver, the copper, the wools, the skins, and so forth. And then the Parsha is going to tell us about the making of the Mishkan, the bringing, first of all of the materials, the making of the Mishkan, and the final completion of the Mishkan, and the erection of the Mishkan. Ubetzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemate Yehuda osa es kol asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. And Betzalel, who was the son of Uri, who was the son of Chur, from the tribe of Yehuda, he was in charge of the making of the Mishkan. He made everything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. Now, who was Betzalel? Let's see if we can get a little background on Betzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur. Betzalel is mentioned in his fullness, full name, and where he specified, I believe, three times. Once he's mentioned here in Parshas Pikudei, then he's mentioned in Vayakhel. That's Vayakhel, Perek Lamed Hei, Posuk Lamed. Vayimah Meishel B'nei Yisrael Ru'u Koro Hashem B'Shem Betzalel Ben Uri Ben Chur Lamati Yehuda. Moshe said to Israel, see that we have called, Hashem has called him by name, in other words, has specified him and exalted him by name, Betzalel the son of Uri, the son of Chur of Lamati Yehuda. And then he's mentioned before then, also, in Parshas Kisiso, right before the episode of the Egel Azov, of the golden calf, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Posuk Aleph, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Rei Korosi V'Shem, see that I have called and exalted him by name, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur Lamati Yehuda. For some reason, which I don't know, Rashi, the first time it's mentioned, Rashi doesn't tell us anything about Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur Lamati Yehuda. The second time he does. I don't know why not the first time. The second time he adds, he says, he was the grandson of Chur. Who was Chur? Beno shel Miriam Hayo. Chur was the son of Miriam. So that would make him the great-grandson of Miriam. The Chur, we find also in Parshas Kisiso by the Egel Azov, not in the text of the Torah itself, but in the Chazal. When Klal Yisrael went, they were waiting for Moshe, and he didn't return when they thought he should return. So the Erev Rav, the mixture of people that came out with them from Egypt, instigated the making of a golden calf, the Egel Azov. And Aaron tried to stop them the best he could, but he couldn't. So the Torah brings in Parshas Kisiso, Shmais Lamed Beis, Posuk Hei, Vayar Aaron, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefonov. And Aaron saw, and he built a Mizbeach, an altar before them. So Rashi brings from the Chazal, what does it mean, Vayar Aaron? Dvorim harbei ro'ar ro'achur ben achaisai shoyom echichum biharguhu. One of the things he saw was that he saw Hur, his nephew, the son of his sister, so that would be the son of Miriam, try to stop them, and they killed him. So this is one of the things which he saw. So here again we see Hur is mentioned, but unfortunately, tragically, he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. He tried to stop them from building the golden calf, but he was the son of Miriam and the grandfather of this Bezalel that we're speaking about now. There's another place in Chumash where Rashi mentions Benoshel Miriam the Kolev Balo, that he was the son of Miriam and Kolev was her husband. So that would explain why it states that he was from Mate Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda, because Kolev ben Yefuna was from the tribe of Yehuda. And that we see in the Parshas, in Parshas Shalach, by the Baraglim. So a person from each Shevet, each tribe was sent to spy out the land, and there it states, Kolev ben Yefuna, from the tribe of Yehuda. Now, if we look in Divrei Hayomim, Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Beis, Posuk Tes. There it states, it's bringing the Yichus of Yehuda. So Yehuda, he had children, his first children died, Erva Einon. And then he took Tomar. And from Tomar was Yoldelei Esperetz Vezorach. He had Peretz and Zorach. And from Peretz was to come the Malchus, Boaz, and eventually Yishai and David HaMelech. So that was from Peretz. So it tells us, Ubenei Peretz, Chetzrein v'Chomul. The son of Peretz was Chetzron and Chomul, so Chetzron. Then it states, in Posuk Tes, Uvnei Chetzron, Asher Neiladlai, Asher Achmeil, Vesrom, Vesklu Kiluvoi. Chetzron gave birth to three children, and one was called Kiluvoi. Rashi tells us that Kiluvoi was Kolev. And then, a little further, in Posuk Yudches and Yutes, Kolev got married. That was Kolev, the son of Chetzreiv. It says, Kolev ben Chetzreiv, he got married to Azuva. And incidentally, she was called, she got married to Azuva. And Azuva died. Vayikach le Kolev es Ephros, and he married Ephros. And from that marriage, Vatedl le es Hur. Hur came. So here we see that Hur was born to Kolev and Ephros. Hur halid es Uri, Uri halid es Bezalel. So we see that Bezalel was the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the son of Kolev. The only thing is here it states that Kolev, but the only thing is it says here Kolev married Ephros. So it would seem that we would have to say Ephros was Miriam. And that's how it's explicit in the Targum. The Targum writes, and that posuk, after Azuva died, Unosav lay Kolev Yas Miriam, the Miskarya Yas Ephros. So we've traced him back, that from Yehuda through Tomer came Peretz, and from Peretz came Chetzron, and from Chetzron came Kolev, and Kolev married Miriam, and they had a son who was Hur, and that was killed by the Egel Azov. And then Hur had a son by the name of Uri, and Uri had a son, Bezalel. So this was the Yichus of Bezalel. One kasha, though. This would mean that Kolev would be Ben Chetzron. Generally, he's referred to as Kolev Ben Yefuna. In Pasha Shalach, he's referred to as Kolev Ben Yefuna and other places also. So that we have to find some interpretation on. We'll have to say that Chetzron was also known as Yefuna. At any rate, he came from very, very good Yichus. And this was Mate Yehuda. Incidentally, Rashi here on Divrei Hayomim goes into the fact that this was the Bezalel that went and built the Mishkan, and he brings from the Chazal, he makes a whole calculation of years, and he brings from the Chazal, Medrash, and from the Gemara Sanhedrin, that Bezalel was 13 years old at this time, only 13, when he was appointed to take charge of the building of the Mishkan. Now, we mentioned that the Bezalel in his full name was mentioned three times here. Now, in two of those places, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exalted him by his name. Well, one place it says, Re'ei Krosi B'Shem Bezalel. It says, Re'ei, see, that I have called him by his name, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. Ben Hur Ben Uri, Ben Uri Ben Hur. And the second time, it states, that's by us. No, excuse me. That was the first. And then the second time, it states, Ru'u Kora Hashem B'Shem Bezalel. It says, Ru'u. Hashem called him Bezalel. So the Medrash brings in the Medrash Tanhuma. In the beginning of Perek Gimel in this parsha, Nishtabach livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu livnei HaMalochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu praised him before the Malochim and before the people. Nishtabach be'elyonim uvetachtonim. He was praised in the upper worlds and he was praised in the lower worlds. Shnema rei krosi v'shem, kosevechot omer u kora Hashem. One place it says re'ei, and the other place it says re'u in plural. Re'ei omer be'elyonim. When he was speaking to the elyonim, there it says re'ei. And when he was speaking, that was to the upper worlds. And when he was speaking to the lower worlds, he said re'u. Omar b'tachtonim. So he praised Bezalel in all of the worlds. Ulefi chacham arakosu v'motza chen v'seichel tov b'einei Elohim v'adom. Therefore, this is what the Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Mishlei, that a person has to be a great person in totality. He cannot be a great person by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not be to be considered an honorable person amongst people. And he cannot be an honorable person amongst people and not to be considered honorable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo HaMelech said that a person has to be considered an honorable and wise person both amongst people in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of people. So this was Bezalel. Now, on this posuk in our parsha, it says, "Uvetzalel ben Uri ben Hur lemate Yehuda, osa es kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe." Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda, he went and he did everything which Hashem commanded Moshe. Rashi brings Asher Tziva Eisei Moshe En Ksivka. Really, it should say that he did everything that Moshe commanded him. Instead, it says he did everything which Hashem commanded Moshe. Elo kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Afilu Dvorim Shaleom Alei Rabbi Hiskim Medaita L'Mashenem Alei Moshe B'Sinai. So it's telling us something very unique, a great chidush. It says Bezalel not only did everything which Moshe commanded him, but he even did things which Moshe did not command him, but which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Moshe. Now how did he know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Moshe if Moshe didn't give this over to Bezalel? So it states, Rashi brings, that Afilu Dvorim Shelei Omar Lei Rabbi Hiskim Adaita L'Mashenem L'Moshe B'Sinai. He was able to understand procedures, even that which Moshe had not told him, and he understood that this was the right way, and this is what Hashem must have told Moshe. What is the case? So Rashi brings, Ki Moshe tziva lebetzalel la'aseis tchilos kelim. Moshe commanded that first we must make the kelim, we must make all of the articles for the Mishkan. If we look in Parshas Truma, the first command was on the Aron HaKodesh. That's what held the Sefer Torah and the tablets. The next command was on the Shulchan, the table. The next command was on the Menorah. This is how Moshe commanded Bezalel. And then only afterwards, Achakach HaMishkan, he commanded him to make the actual structure, the Ohel, the tent, the Yerias, the walls, the tapestries, and so forth. Omar Bezalel. Bezalel said, no. He says, Minnego olam lasis tchila bayis v'ahakach meisim kelim b'seichai. When a person builds, moves into a new house, he's building a home, and everything's going to be new. So what does he do? Does he build the articles, the furnishings first? Or does he build the house first, the structure? He says, it's the custom of the land that you build the structure first, and then you build the kelim. And so you'll have a place to put the kelim. Because if you're going to build the kelim first, all of the furnishings and the articles, where are you going to keep them in the meantime? Omalei. So Moshe said, you're right. Kach shamati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you're right. This is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. First build the whole structure of the Mishkan. The walls, the kroshim, the wooden upbeams, upright beams, the roof and so forth. And then we will build the kelim. And that's how the Mishkan was made. And then Moshe told him, Omalei Moshe, Bitzel Kel Hoyiso. Your name is a good name for you. Bitzal El. We brought a few weeks ago that Bitzal El had another meaning. That the meaning was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he will dwell in the tzel, in the shadow of Bezalel, the Mishkan which Bezalel made. Here, the Gemara is dashing a little different, the Medrash. Bezalel Kel, that you must have been in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he commanded me. Ki bevare kach tziva li HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, v'chein oso. And this is how he did. HaMishkan tchila v'ahakach osa kelim. Therefore we had to make the Mishkan first and the kelim afterwards. This is what Rashi brings in the Medrash. So Moshe had commanded him to make the kelim, the articles and the furnishings first, and Bezalel said no. He says that doesn't seem right, Rebbe. He says minega olam. It is the way of the land that when you build a new home, first you build the home, and then you build the and make the articles. And Moshe said, you were right, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. The Gurai, the Maral in the Gurai asked the question, this is very good, so why didn't Moshe tell him to do that then? Why didn't Moshe go ahead and tell him first to make the kelim? If you're supposed to make the structure first, the bayis first, the house first, so why didn't Moshe tell him to make the house first? We can add another question. We have a shaila here, and it's a shaila actually l'alocha, because this was not, we're not talking here of a dvar shush, something which is optional, or a dvar chulin, something which is not kodesh. Person wants to build a home, he can build a home any way he wants. It's a reshus, it's optional. Torah gave him plenty of flexibility on that. But the Mishkan, everything was done b'minyan or b'mishkul, every move inch by inch was governed by the Tzivui Hashem. It was governed by halachos. So there was a shaila lahalocha here between Moshe and Bezalel, a question of decision in halachan, in law. What takes kadima? What should take priority? First the building of the kelim, or the building of the mishkan? So they had the shaila. So Bezalel brings a proof from where? Not from Shulchan Aruch, from Minhag Olam. He says Minhag Olam is that when you build a new home, you build the house first, the bais, and achakach, the kelim. What's that got to do with it? Can we paskin and be machria, decide and give a judgment on a shayla aloha in accordance to what minhag olam is when it comes to building a house? So that's the second question we can ask. The Maral says on this, dvorim amukim, things which could seem pshutim, simple, but they're dvorim amukim, they have a lot of depth in it. He says as follows. This world, and we gave a shir on this past Shabbos, in this world everything is chaymer and surah. The chaymer is your physical structure. Your tsura is your panimi, what's inside of it. The inside specific character of what it is. You have, this is the external and the internal. Now the chaymer, the physical structure, the physical outer structure, that is not there for itself. That is there for the necessity of what's inside, and not to the contrary. Because the ikar, the main part of everything, is its surah. For example, you take clothing. Clothing become like a chaymer for the goof, for the body. So the body wasn't made so it could carry clothing. The head wasn't made so it'll have something to put a hat on. See? Rather, the clothing are protective for the goof, for the body, or kfeide, or they're an honor for the body. The same thing we see with the goof and the neshama, the body and the soul. Body, the soul wasn't made for the purpose of the body, but to the contrary, the body was made for the purpose of the soul. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the individual that was miyuchad for chokhmah. Moshe was the highest level when it comes to the chokhmah Hashem. When he looked at something and someone else looked at something, they didn't both see the same things. When someone looks at something, you look at a sea, the ocean, or you look at a mountains, you'll see the mountains and the sea. Moshe saw the pnimi. He saw the very internal, most internal parts of the sea, the most internal parts of the mountains. What are their purposes? So when he looked at the Mishkan, he saw the purpose of the Mishkan. He saw the ultimate of the Mishkan. And what was the ultimate of the Mishkan? That was the Kelim Shebeseichon, what the Mishkan held, not the walls of the Mishkan. The Kelim were not made for the sanctuary, to the contrary, the sanctuary was made for the kelim. And not only that, but it's interesting that the first keli, the first order of business which he told Bezalel to make, was the Oren HaKodesh, And the Oren HaKodesh was the purpose of the entire Mishkan and all of the Kelim. Because the Oren HaKodesh held the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote, and the Luchais and the Shivrei Luchais, the tablets and the broken tablets. And when HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and on top of it was the Kruvim, was the two images, the golden Kruvim. And when HaKodesh Baruch Hu told, we brought this in the Shir a number of weeks ago, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu told Meisha that, he says, make for me a Mishkan, v'shachanti b'seichom, so I'll have a place to dwell. It says, Toma Meisha, Meisha wondered, he says, the whole world can't hold you. So you're going to come and dwell in a little Mishkan, in a little sanctuary. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu answered, not only can I dwell in this little sanctuary, but I can even dwell in a place which is a tefach al tefach, the smallest space. Where's that smallest space? So we have to see where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells. In the Torah it tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after you build all the Mishkan, you will come to the Oren, and I will be on the Oren, and you will hear me speak from the Oren HaKodesh Bein HaKruvim, from between the Kruvim. And that's where the Devar Hashem came from. When Moshe would go to the Ohel, and it states, V'no'adeti Shom, that will be my place. So he was referring to the little place between the two Kruvim, right, and the Oren. Now this was the whole purpose of the Mishkan, that HaKodesh Baruch Hu should come and dwell in the Mishkan, and this was his dwelling place. So everything else was the chemer to that. This was the Tzura. And when Moshe saw the Mishkan, this is what he saw. So therefore he commanded Bezalel, build the Mishkan. What is a Mishkan? You make the Oren HaKodesh. You make the Kruvim. Then you make the Shulchan. Then you make the Menorah. Then you make the structure around it. Now, this was from Moshe's perspective. Bezalel, on the other hand, the Maral writes, where was his greatness? Where was his gaonness? His gaonness was in the Olam HaSiyah, in the world of the physical, of the physical act. You see, I mean, it's very easy to have these makshobas, but to put it in practice, that's something else. To put it into gold, and to put it into silver, and to put it into wool, and to put it into linens, and to put it into wood. That was Bezalel. So Bezalel's perspective was how to make a Mishkan in the Olam HaGeshem, in this world. So he came from a different perspective. So he said, Moshe, Rabbi, he says, how can you first make the Kelim and then go make the chemer around it? He says, you want to build it in this world. We have to see what this world demands, what this world requires. It's very nice and very important where we should be in the Olam HaMachshava, in the world which is totally divorced from the physical world. But we're not malochim, we're not angels. We also live in the world of the chemer, the world of the physical mass. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us that he wants to come down from the world, the non-physical world, and dwell in a physical dwelling. So if we have a question of what to build first, we have to go look and see what the physical world demands. And that's what the Maral writes in other places. He says, that's Chochmas Derech Eretz. Chochmas Derech Eretz is what this world requires. Chochmas HaTorah is what is required from even worlds above. So we need both. But if you're going to put it into this world, you're going to have to come from the perspective of this world. So therefore, Bezalel said, let us go see what Minhag HaOlam is. The minhag of this world is that when you build something, you build the chemer first, and then you put the tzura in. Even though the whole purpose of everything is the tzura. If you build a home, you're building it from the ultimate for your finest furnishings. But the way to do it in this world is only through coming through the chaimer, through the physical mass. And Moshe said, you're right. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. Not only that, but we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself built the world that way. And I'm sure that Bezalel brought these proofs. Because what was the purpose of the whole world? The heavens and the earth, the sea, the birds. The purpose of the whole world was man. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't start with man. He started with the Shemayim Ba'aretz, the heaven and the earth, and the sea and the sun and everything else. Man was created last. Because in order to come to the purpose, to the ultimate purpose, you're going to have to go right through the chaimer, through the physical mass first. And we'll see even further. Even when he created man, how did he create man? It states by man, excuse me, it says, Vayitzara Odom Ofer Min Adoma, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim. He didn't create him as a soul and then build a body around him. First he took the mass of the earth and he built a body, a golem. That's the Chomer. And then he blew into him a Nishmas Chaim, a living soul. So this was, they were coming from two different perspectives. Both was emes. But to put it into practice in this world, there was Bezalel's perspective. And that's why he said, Bezalel Kedel, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. This is what the Chazal refer to as Seif Maisa Tchilas Makshavtei. The final, ultimate purpose of what a person wants to do, that came from his tchilas machshavtei, from the origin, the ratios of his first thoughts. If you have a plan, you think of an idea, you think of a plan, you make a decision. Your decision is not on what you start with. Your decision is on what you want to finish with. Seif Maisa Tchilas Machshavtei. It's on the Seif Maisa. But you cannot, to come to that, you have to start from the bricks and the stones. From here we learn a number of things. See, firstly, what we learn from here, how important a machshava is, how important a thought is. They say a Chinese parable, they quote, that a thousand mile journey starts with one step. It's a very good thought. People say, how can I ever do this? How can I ever walk 1,000 miles? You can take one step. Well, that's the beginning. It starts with one step. But that's not 100% true. See, it's a little off. It's a little off direction. A 1,000-mile journey does not start with one step. A 1,000-mile journey starts with the decision of the purpose of the person to take the 1,000-mile journey. Why did he take that first step? He took that first step is because he had a thought to make a 1,000-mile journey. But the thought is not enough. He had a Gemar Das. He decided he was going to make such a journey. From here we see how important Machshove is. If a person has a good idea and he thinks about it, he must be careful with it. Because that idea could be a 1,000-mile journey. That idea could build worlds. And if it's good, then he must not leave it at that. He must make a decision to do it. Once he makes a decision to do it, that's the beginning of it. The beginning is not the step. The beginning is the decision to do it. When he does do it, then he's merely building on that decision. That's why it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzaref Makshova Teva L'maisa. That if a person goes and he does a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only give him credit for the mitzvah, he just gives him credit for the decision to do the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah wasn't the beginning, it was the decision. And that's why also many times it states that if a person has, we're talking about a decision, not just a thought. Many times we'll have, our mind is bombarded with hundreds and hundreds of thoughts. And many, there's plenty nonsense. And there's plenty that we just dismiss. So that's not valuable. What is valuable is that we take the good ones, we choose what are the good ones, and we develop them and make the decision. It's very bad for people to have good thoughts and then they leave it at that. See, or people who have good thoughts and never can come to a decision. Or make a decision and never do it. We're talking where a person says, I've decided to do this. And then he's got to do it. Some things you can do right away. Some things you'll do years later. But in his mind, he has decided to do it. I'm going to do it. That's the beginning of a good act. And that can move worlds. And that's why it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the person does it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him credit for the Makshava. Not only that, but what happens if he's decided to do it? But he was nanus. It was not within his physical ability to be able to do it. He never came to fruition. Chazal brings many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him schar anyhow, give him reward anyhow. Because he had made that decision to do it and he was going to do it. This that it didn't come into fruition, that's not necessarily his lacking. Many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu would stop him. Just like by Abraham. Abraham made the decision to fulfill the Tzivu Yashem to give his son. He never did. Yet he got the whole reward for it. Because that it never came into fruition, that wasn't Abraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him. But meanwhile, he set the wheels going with his Machshava. So that's safe Maisa Tchilas Machshava. The Machshava is on the ultimate of the plan. And that was Moshe. Moshe was the Baal Machshava. When you spoke of the Mishkan, he didn't think of walls, and he didn't think of crushing, and he didn't think of the tapestries. He thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelling, and that's on the Orem. So he told, make the Orem. But on the other hand, when you're going to start building the 1,000-mile trek, that has to start with one step. And Bezalel said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not looking at it from the perspective of this world, you're looking at it from a perspective of another world. Let's see what this world, the Seder HaDvorim, the order that this world demands. Adam born of Bayis, Bayin of Bayis, Tchila, the Ahakach, Meisi Mesakeli. First he builds the home, even though that's not the ultimate purpose, and afterwards he puts in all of the livable objects. A second limud that we learn from here is no matter how great the idea is, how great the plan is, but to activate it in this world, it has to come derech hachemer. It has to come mimata lemalo, from the lowest parts of the world to the highest parts. Even the Mishkan had to start with the kroshim, with the yiriyas, with the tapestries, with the walls. Because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world is that the only way a person can reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the greatest heights in this world is derech HaChemer, through the physical mass. So he has to start there. And we see even HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that, because this is how he commanded on the Mishkan, and when he made the world he did that. He didn't create man right away. First he created all physical world, then he put man in it. And even when he created man, he created a galem, a mass of physical elements, and then he placed Nishmas Chaim, the soul in. So the Machshava goes on the ultimate, but the way to come there is only Derech HaChemer. Then it states in by Bezalel in Parshas Vayakel, by Male I say Ruach Elokim. Kodesh Baruch Hu has filled him with the Spirit of Hashem, bechochma ubisfuna ubedas ubechomalocha, with wisdom, with bina, with das, and all types of craftsmanship. Lachashev machashoves, laaseis bazov ubakesev ubenachoshes. Bezalel knew everything. Bachareishis Evan Lamalis Bachareishis Eitz Lasis Bachol Meleches Machashoves. And then he gave him an assistant also, Oliyo Ben Achisomach Lamateidon. So Bezalel was an expert in goldsmith, in silversmith, with copper, with the weaving, with the hides, with the in wood craftsmanship, precious stones, in artwork. And the Mishkan was the ultimate and ultimate of beauty and splendor. I mean, there was nothing to compare, that you could compare it with. So this he gave all to Bezalel. I mean, naturally Bezalel had these talents before, but he filled him even with greater talents. But what is a little difficult here, it states that we understand, but then it states he filled him with Chochma Svuna Vedas. And Rashi says, what is Das? He says, Das is Ruach, Das is Ruach, Ruach Elokim, Ruach HaKodesh. Actually, just looking here, yeah, actually in Parsha Siso, Rashi says it. See, the same sukkim I brought there. So Rashi says, Da'as, he tells us what Chochma is, Mashodim Shamea Dvorim Acherim Vavamat, something, information that people hear from other people, or you study, Svuna, Mevin Dove Miliba Metek Dvorim Shalomat. Svuna is to analyze. Da'as is Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Now, why did he need all of this? We can understand why he needed to become, be so great in all of these malachas and all of this artesian work. But why did he need Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ruach HaKodesh? The Midrash tells us that the Mishkan was not, how intricate it was from every facet of fashioning and beauty and building, is still, it wasn't limited to that. It was far more. The Midrash Tanhuma brings in Perek Beis, brings a pasuk from Tehillim, which states in Tehillim Chof Vav Ches, Hashem o hafti ma'ein beisecho u'makom mishkan kvedecho. David HaMelech said, "Ahavti ma'on beisecho." He says, "I love your home." Now, ma'on refers to the heavens. I love your home in the heavens. U'makom mishkan kvedecho, and the place where your honor dwells. So the Midrash asks, "Are we speaking about one or two?" It says, I love ma'on beisecho u'makom mishkan kvedecho. So the Medrash says, we're speaking about two mishkans. There's a Mishkan in Ma'on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a dwelling place on high, and he has a dwelling place here. Ma'on Beisecho is the dwelling place on high, and Makom Mishkan Kvedecho, that's his dwelling place here. Then Reb Shimon ben Yochai comes along and he says, Zeisa Merisha Hechel Shalamato, Mechuben Keneged Hechel Shalamato, Shenema Mechon Neshiptecho Po'alto Hashem, Migdosh Hashem Keninu Yodecho. He says, we find the same thing in the Shira, in Oz Yoshia. They sang out, Mechon Neshiptecho Po'alto Hashem, the place of your dwelling you made, Migdosh Hashem Keninu Yodecho, and the place of the Migdosh you made. So it says, it mentions Machon and Migdosh. So he says, we're referring to two Migdoshes. A Beis HaMigdosh Lamalo and a Beis HaMigdosh Lamato. Then, why did it use the word Machon? It should have used the word Mishkon or Mokom. Why Machon? Joseph says that this is where Chazal is darshanin. Machon also comes from the word Mechuvan. Mechuban means where it's directly lined up. So Reb Shimon Yochai is dashnin. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Beis HaMikdash Shalmala and he has a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata. But secondly, they are directly lined up with each other. So the Mishkan, which they were commanded to build here, was directly lined up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Migdosh Lamalo. It seems from the Pasuk in Tehillim that you can come to the Beis HaMigdosh Lamalo, to the upper Beis HaMigdosh, through the lower Beis HaMigdosh, because David said that he loves to come to you, I love to come to your house which is in the heavens, and the Mishkan which is here. Alright, so you come to the Beis HaMigdosh, and you come even to the Beis HaMikdash Lamalo. Now, if that was the case, so then everything had to be made in the ultimate of perfection, because it had to be lined up perfectly with the Beis HaMikdash Lamalo. Then the Medrash brings further, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yasi, that the Mishkan is Shokol Kedeged Briyas Olam. The building of the Mishkan was parallel to the building of the world. How do we see that? Ketzah, Berishin Ksi Bereshis Bore Lekim Eisa Shomayim Veitzo Oretz, Neita Shomayim Kayeria. In the first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. And it states that he spread the heavens like a yeria, like a wall of a tent. By the Mishkan it states, Vasisa Yirios Izim, you should make the walls out of gozer. And the second day it states, Yehi Rakia, Ve'eme Behen Abdullah. The second day HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Mabdil, something to separate, a sky to separate between the higher waters and the lower waters. V'Mabdil Min Mayim L'Moyim. In the Mishkan it states, V'Dila Preichas Lochem, that you should make a pareches, a curtain, to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. On the third day, Kodesh Baruch Hu created in the world Yikovu Amayim, water. And in the Mishkan, we were commanded, we should make the Kior and the Kanoi V'nosatu Shom Amayim. We were commanded to make a fountain for water. On the fourth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Ma'oris, he made the lights in the skies, and in the Mishkan we were commanded, Asisa Menera Sohav, we should make the menorah to bring light. On the fifth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the birds. In the Mishkan, we bring birds for the sacrifices, and also Bohoyo HaKruvim Porsei Konafayim Lamalo, that the Kruvim had wings like birds. The sixth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and in the Mishkan it states that there must be a Kohen Godel And there's a pasuk that refers to him as Adam, as man. He's the ultimate of man that will come and serve in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishkan. The seventh day, it states Vayichul Hashemayim Va'aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the working of the Mishkan, and of the world. And in the Mishkan it states Vateichal Kol Avodas, they finished all of the work of the Mishkan. Then it states in the creation of the world, Vayivorech Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha to the world. In the Mishkan it states Vayivorech Esom Moshe, Moshe gave them a bracha in our Sedra. And then it states Vayichal Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished everything. And here it states Vayi Bayayim Kalais, when they finished the Mishkan. And then it states, Vayikadish Esai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the world. And in the Mishkan it states, Vayimshach Esai, Vayikadish Esai, that we took all of the Mishkan and we anointed it with the oil and we made it holy, we sanctified it. So here we see, from here we can understand why Bezalel not only had to be a master of all the crafts, but he had to have Ruach Hashem also, Ruach Elokim. Because everything that was done in the Mishkan had to be in perfect order, where it could be exactly parallel to the Migdash Shalmala, to the base of Migdash Shalmala, and also where it was a complete duplication of the Bria Shamayim Va'aretz. Actually, it states that on the day of the Akomas HaMishkan, the day when the Mishkan was put up, that was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it states that that day HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoiced as he rejoiced on the day of the creation of the Shemayim Ba'aretz, the building of the heavens and the earth. So we see that this was a duplication of that. So therefore Bezalel had to be extremely great. We'll go to one more point. It states in the Sedra that when Moshe asked for all the contributions, so it says Heviyo b'nei Yisrael melachas avedes hakodesh lases iso v'im heviyo elov od nedova baboker baboker. It mentions Boker twice. They brought all of their contributions morning and morning. Vayavou kol hachachomim haosim eis melechas hakodesh ishish b'melachte asher hema osim. And everyone that was able to work had some specialty. There was men and women. So they all came to contribute their work. Vayemru el Moshe lemor. And then they came and they said to Moshe, Marbi ma'om lehovi. The people are bringing too much. Midei avod el ha-malocha asher tziva Hashem lasei seso. The people are bringing too much. We have too many the materials are too much. Vayitzav Moshe vayaviru kol b'machane lemor ish v'isha al yasu od malocha l'srumas ha-kodesh. So Moshe had to announce throughout the camp that no man or woman should do anything else for the Mishkan. Al yasu od malocha v'yikol le'ha'om me'hovi. So the people stopped. V'amalocha ha'iso dayom l'chol ha'malocha la'asei seiso v'ha'iser. And the malocha was not only sufficient, but they had brought too much, and there was left over. And then everything was brought, so Bezalel and his assistant, Oliov, they started to work and they started to make the entire Mishkan, all of the Kelim. The Torah goes through all the details. Then it states, this was in the previous parshas, parshas Vayakhel, but here also it's mentioned. And then it's brought that they brought it all to Moshe. By Aviu es Hamishkon al Moshe, Esael ves Kol Kelov. They brought everything to Moshe, every part of the Mishkan. And then it states, Vaidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, Beyem achedish harishin beecha lachodesh. Tokim es Mishkan ael maed. In the first month, and the first day of the month, you should put up the Mishkan. So that was in the first day of Chodesh Nisan. What is the background to this? Rashi brings some of it. It states as follows. Actually, they started the work of the Mishkan on Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur. The Medrash says that Moshe, he went up to the mountain, and he was there 40 days. And then he received the Torah. Then he came down and he broke the Luchais. That was the golden calf. And he judged the people. Came down on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. And then the next day he went back up. Well, actually the next day, Yud Ches Tammuz, he judged the people. On Yud Tes he went back up. He stayed there another 40 days. And he came down and was Resh Kedish Elul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to come back up for a third 40 days with new tablets. And at the end of the 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will forgive the nation and I will give you the new tablets. And on that day, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him in the building of the Mishkan. It was on Yom Kippur. So the next morning, when Moshe came down, he commanded the people on the building of the Mishkan. Then it's brought that when the people heard about the building of the Mishkan, Somchu Simcha Gedela, this is in Perek Yud Aleph, Somchu Simcha Gedela Ve'evi Anedove B'Simcha B'Zizros. The people were so rejoiced and so happy about it. So they brought, it says, Vayovo Anoshim Al Anoshim Shohiu Dechin Zeh Ezeh, maybe Nadova, men and women all together, they came and they brought all of their contributions. And they brought it so fast that in 2 days, everything that was needed was already brought, the Hoser, and there was enough. How do we know 2 days? Because it states, Baboker, Baboker. See, morning and morning. And then everything was brought, and there was enough. Now, the Nesim hadn't brought yet, the princes of each, and they were all upset. So, there's a whole story there, but we will not go into that now. Rashi brings that in Parshas Vayakhel, but they had to end up bringing just some of the precious stones for the Bigdei Kohuna, the garments of the Kohanim, because everything else was brought. Then they gave it over to Bezalel and Oliov and all of the people that knew how to work, the men and the women, and they started to work on it. And then they finished. Now, they actually had finished on Chof Hei Kislev, the 25th of Kislev. So it took them, the whole business took them from the 10th or the 11th of Tishrei to the 25th of Kislev. So that would be from the 10th or 11th of Tishrei to the 11th of Cheshvan, and then from the 11th of Cheshvan to the 11th of Kislev, and then a little more, so it took them about 2.5 months. When they finished, so the people tried to put it up, but they couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. This wouldn't stay, and so forth and so on. So what did they do? Hochelehem, they went to the Chachmei Lev, to those who were very good and knew the work, and they also couldn't put it up. So then they went to Bezalel and Eliyahu and told them that we have finished the Mishkan, but we can't put it up. And Bezalel and Eliyahu also tried to put it up, and they couldn't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in particular decreed this, because Moshe was very saddened. He had no chelek, he had no portion in the building of the Mishkan. The Bezalel and Eliyahu, they were in charge of all of the work. All of the people came and helped. Meanwhile, Moshe had no portion. And it states that Lo yigra mitzadik einov ves malochim lakisei vayeshiveim lo netzach vayigbohu, a posuk in Iyob. Kodesh Baruch Hu will not take anything away from a tzaddik which he deserves, or he will not take anything away from, he will not take the thrones away from kings which they deserve. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe to be left out. So therefore he decreed that whoever will try to put it up, it won't stay up. Then the people started to become upset, and others started to start saying Loshon Hara and complaining. You say, here Moshe went and took our gold and silver and our copper and all of our wealth, because he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to build a home for him and he would come and dwell, and we've done everything and he's not coming. He says, Ben Amram, what is he telling us? Stories and so forth and so on. Then they decided, let's go to Moshe. So nichnasu kol Yisrael etzel Moshe. Omru Moshe Rabbeinu, kol ma she'amarta lonu osinu, v'chol ma she'tzivisinu liteinu lahitzin osanu akol. V'harei kol ha'malocha lefonecho, shema chasanu shum dobar, o vitanu al kol ma she'amarta lonu, rei akol lefonecho. We've done everything that you've commanded us to do. We've brought everything we commanded us. We've made everything that you commanded. Did we do something wrong? So therefore, Vayaviu es ha-mishkon el Moshe. That's the pasuk where it states they brought the whole Mishkan, everything, to Moshe. And they took Moshe to every part of it, and they said, look, this is how you said we should make this. And they showed him, is it made properly? This is how you said we should make this. And they showed him, and it was made properly. And they said, we came to Bezalel and Eliyahu, and they're also all upset because the Mishkan won't go up. So finally, Hashem came to Moshe and he said, "V'yem achidish harishin ve'echa l'chodesh, tokim es mishkan el meid." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You, Moshe, you will put it up. So you will put it up. No one else. They'll all have to come unto you, because I don't want you to be left out in the cold. But," he said, "not now. Only in Nisan, the first day of Nisan." So that was a long time, because it was Kislev. So you still have Tevis and Shvat and Adar till you come to Nisan. So it was another good 3 months. So then Moshe said, "I alone, I can't put it up alone. You need a lot of people. That these are very, very heavy beams and whatnot. I can't do it alone." Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Asek biyodecha v'atom mare lahmide v'u'eim im ilof. V'ani kesev alecho sha'ato hakemesoi." He says, "You go and act as if you're putting it up, and I will make it go up by itself. But it'll look as if you put it up, and I will write in the Torah that you put it up, you erected it." And there Taka says that later on, when it says when it states that in the first month, this was the second year now, because it was after the Rosh Hashanah that they had come out, it really wasn't a first year yet, it was still 2 weeks short of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the anniversary. Hukama Mishkan, Hukam means the Mishkan came up itself. But in another place it states, Vayokem Moshe Esa Mishkan, Moshe put it up. So how do we reconcile both psukim? Moshe went through the actions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it up, it went up itself. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to put it up, he said, I'm going to have 8 days of festivities. Some hold, most hold it started 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. See, some hold it started with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and these were called the Shiva Shemei Miluim, the Shemei Shemei Miluim. For a week you will put it up, you will bring sacrifices, your korbanos, and then you will take it down. And this will go on for the seventh day. Vayehi bayom hashmini, that's in Parsha Shmini, that was the eighth day of the Miluim, of the inauguration, then you will put it up and it'll stay up forever until you have to move to another place. Now, now comes the question, Bekama Chadoshim Nigmar Lechas HaMishkon Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman Omer Beshleisha Chadoshim Nigmar Lechas HaMishkon Tishrei Macheshven in Kislev, like we said, that in 3 months it was finished. Vohayamunach Umeferak Teves Ushvat V'Ador, and then it laid without being assembled during the month of Teves, Shvat and Ador. Vemiduhu Be'echot B'Nisum, and it was erected on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now comes the question, Lama le'aman miyad, if the Mishkan was finished. It's interesting, the Mishkan was finished on the 25th of Kislev, the Chazal tell us. The 25th of Kislev is the day that Hanukkah would fall on many, many generations later on. Now, if the Mishkan was all complete on the 25th of Kislev, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command that it should be put up on the 25th of Kislev? Why should it sit all unassembled for the rest of Kislev, and then Teves, and then Shvat, and then Ador? Ela mimnei shechoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'orev simchas HaMishkan b'simchas HaYom shenelet b'Yitzchak Avinu. The fish of Echad Benisim Nolad Yitzchok. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hareini Me'orev Simchaschem Simcha B'Simcha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to join two Simchas together. Let me wait for a special day for it to be put up. Because it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoiced on the day of the putting up of the Mishkan, like the day of the creation of the world. This was a creation of the world. So he said, let's wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because Rosh Chodesh Nisan was a special day. That's when Yitzchok was born. How do we know Yitzchok was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? When the Malachim came to Sora. So they came, I'm just trying to think, because it's brought that they came on Pesach, so it'd be the 15th of Nisan, and they said, next year at this time, Yitzchok will be born, your son will be born. So it seems that would be the 15th of Nisan, not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Actually, the H. Yosef goes into the Shiloh. It seems that some have a different texture because of that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he wanted it to be put up in the month that Nisan was born, that Yitzchok was born. See, not that he wanted it to go on Rosh Chodesh Nisan because Yitzchok was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because Yitzchok was born on the 15th of Nisan. But he wanted it to go up in the month that Yitzchok was born. All right. So now, he said, I want to bring these two simchas together. Now, the people didn't know that, though. Moshe knew it, but the people didn't know it. Meanwhile, in every generation, you have your leitzonim. Who are your leitzonim? These are your people who are not serious believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the scoffers and the mockers. So they were mocking. Here we built the whole Mishkan, and it's laying there. It's laying here for 1 month, for 2 months, for 3 months. What was the whole purpose for it? He says they didn't understand the makshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a motive why he wanted to wait. It just wasn't that it was a day of simcha, that also, but he had a special motive why to wait for Yitzchok. Because Yitzchok actually was the prime source for the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. Purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to bring the sacrifices. Yitzchak himself offered himself as a sacrifice. And the Midrash states that on the day that Yitzchak allowed himself to be offered as a sacrifice, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the heavens and in the Torah that the korban is tamidim, that every morning and every afternoon you shall bring this particular sacrifice, the korban tamid, in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that the source of these sacrifices was from Yitzchak Avinu. So there was a special motive. Meanwhile, the Leitzoni Hador, they were mocking and scoffing. They couldn't understand the makshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood. He says, this is what David HaMelech wrote. And listen to this closely. This is what we always say on Shabbos. Ki simachtani Hashem before Alecho, b'maisu yadecha aranein. That I rejoice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has caused me to rejoice in your great handiwork. Zeh ayel ma'id. He was referring to the Mishkan. B'maisi yodech aranein. In your great handiwork, I will take enormous joy. Zeh binyan beis hamikdash yibaneh b'mehara b'yameinu. That's the building of the beis hamikdash that should be rebuilt hurriedly. Ma godlu ma'asecha Hashem me'od omku machshveisecha. How great are your thoughts and deep. What does that refer to? That you wanted to bring the building of the Mishkan to come out at the same time of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak was the origin of all of the sacrifices of the Mishkan. But the empty one and the fool does not understand this. The empty ones do not understand this. They were scoffing. Why is the Mishkan laying here on the ground? They're all packed up, and it's not being put up. And Ksila Yavinazos, and no one knew how to put up the Mishkan. Shlo Yochel Echad Men Lakimai. No one knew the wisdom of putting up the Mishkan. Le Bitzalel Vele Oliyav Vele Achachomim Ma'esim Es Kol Melechas HaKodesh. Not even Bitzalel, not even Oliyav, and not even all of the Chachomim that worked with them. Kedei Sheyovei Moshe V'yitel Eshelai. In order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed this in particular, in order that Moshe should have the honor of he himself will put up the Mishkan, Lefisha Mitztarish Le Asa Beklum, because he was upset that he had no part in it. So that is what is meant, that Lo Yigra Mitzadik Einov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not withhold from his righteous ones what is due to them. He won't allow anyone to be able to erect and establish the Mishkan except Moshe Rabbeinu. So this gives us some background in the Melechus HaMishkon and in the Tzalel and in the final completion of the Mishkon, which we should see b'mheiro b'yomeinu the binyan Beis HaMikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.